Sick.
Okay, y'all ready to start?
Yes, y'all ready for this?
Hello, and welcome to...
What are y'all mad about today?
A show where we take on Twitter, TERFs, and titties.
Hi, I'm Weston, he, they, and I have two delightful boobies.
I'm Easton, she, her. My boobs change size and shape every day, but usually make no sound. I'd also like to welcome a special guest this week.
Hi, I'm Nikki, she, her, they, and my boobs saved my life.
I want to say that Nikki here is my lovely sister and has been my best friend since she was born.
Oh.
So
we're litter mates.
We're litter mates. So welcome. welcome to the show where we take trending topics that piss people off and break them down, hopefully in an accessible and fun way. What are we talking about today, Easton?
This week, we are taking a trip to TERF Island to tell the tale of J.K. Rowling and the titty clapping TERF. And, okay, before we get into it, let's break down this label for the uninitiated. Would either of you like to explain the acronym TERF, how you would define it, and a brief take, whatever you want to say about TERFs?
You want to take this one, Nikki?
Yeah. TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. It is designed to describe feminists at large who think that trans people should not be included in the LGBTQ community and that they don't count as real women. And that makes me angry.
Yeah, it's infuriating. It's some fucking nonsense is what it is. It's
like a lot of privileged white women just shitting on trans people for no reason.
Yeah, it's a very violent ideology.
Yeah.
Sort of couched in feminist language, which makes it, I think, all that much more dangerous.
Sinister, even.
Yeah. Thank you all for the explanation. And they are very infuriating, which makes us on brand for the show.
I love being mad.
Hell yeah.
Today, I wanted to focus on one TERF's essay that was passed around in anti-radfem Twitter, mainly, you know, sex work and trans Twitter. And so this actually wasn't like a trending topic or like a totally viral thing, but I honestly wish it had gone viral because it is absolutely buck wild. And the TERF in question for today is named Jean Hatchett. And to start us off, could one of you read the title and then one of you read the tagline?
Why are TRAs body shaming J.K. Rowling?
In the discourse about TERFs, quote unquote TERFs, vicious misogyny is never far from the surface. Also, side quick question, what's a TRA?
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, trans rights activists.
TRA is an antagonistic term for trans people and everyone who doesn't violently hate them. And it's meant to sound like MRA, which is short for men's rights activists, which is like a totally bullshit movement. And it's supposed to delegitimize trans rights as if it's like just like privileged people being assholes, which it turns out that's what radical feminism is. But
can't say that I'm too shocked about that, but that's really fucked up.
Yeah. I just think it's funny. It's funny how they can take such like a innocuous phrase and make it sound evil. Well, give it an evil connotation.
It's funny you should say that because all four of our last episodes were sort of about things that seem innocuous on the surface, and once you dive a little deeper, you find out the sort of far-reaching violence that they sort of affect on the world around them. So
I see.
As a note, throughout this essay, she refuses to use the term cis and trans properly, and is just misgendering people all over the place. And rather than calling out every single instance, which would end up being the whole podcast, and also rather than uncritically repeating that shit and like misgendering people, I corrected a lot of those things. So a lot of these aren't 100% accurate quotes, but I just changed those little bitty things.
Thank you for going and doing that.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to say a little bit about the magazine this is published in. It's called The Critic Magazine. Their website says, "The Critic exists to push back against a self-regarding and dangerous consensus that finds critical voices troubling, triggering, insensitive, and disrespectful. The point is not provocation or trolling. The point of honest criticism is to better approach truth, not deny its possibility."
All right, so we're
which sounds like it could have been written by Greg Lukianoff. See our first four episodes to learn who that is.
Yeah, I was just going to say something very similar. So we're starting at a solid like 1 out of 10 already.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. I'm scrolling through and looking at some of their podcasts or whatever, and like one of them is like a...
Yeah, it's a whole lot of cringe.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. It's like subtle PragerU.
Mm-hmm. And
I guess it's not very subtle.
No, not at all. It's very in your face, except on the website they claim ossified, which is British for rigid. Ossified thought and a lack of intellectual rigor are depressing features of all sides of today's political and cultural debate. Our writers will subscribe to no editorial line nor serve the interests of any party, faction, or cause. Even though they're all about TERFs, which is a faction, and it's just more free speech nonsense.
I know. I was going to say, there's that word again, intellectual rigor.
Whoa.
Look out, the rigor heads are coming for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wish it was dead and it was intellectual rigor mortis.
I perhaps had made a similar joke in one of our episodes or something.
Okay.
but I love that. That's amazing.
We'll think alike. Oh.
We're related.
So yeah, they platform a bunch of other SWERFs and TERFs, like Julie Bindel, for example, who's more well known than Gene Hatchett, and other reactionary assholes. That's kind of their thing. So they also say, "The opinions which govern modern Britain should be seen..." I should be saying this in a British accent, sorry. "The opinions which govern modern Britain should be seen as such opinions. We will drag them kicking and screaming into public view." So, more opinion discourse like we saw before.
You know, people are very attached to their opinions for whatever fucking reason. And, and I think the UK sort of has a similar threads to the United States in a lot of ways. I've sort of noticed over the years where like...
Yeah, just like worse teeth and less guns. Less seasoning,
welcome
too.
Welcome to the podcast where we shit on British people.
Less seasoning, too. Yeah, Tony Satchery is not British.
Yeah, so it's more of this like... Every single opinion that pops into their head is sacred and should never be challenged.
Yeah.
Anti-intellectual bullshit. Gross.
Sacred and never... If I hear one more fucking nerd talk about how their opinion or, like, their method of fucking... Like, what? What was it with Sam? Mind coming? Their method of intellectual ecstasy or whatever the fuck? If I have one more nerd say... sacred, I'm gonna fucking lose it, because that's nothing to do. It is so inappropriate for
just saying something,
the subject matter,
just saying that something is like that important doesn't make it that important. You can say it's sacred all you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, participation trophies of the mind.
Yeah. It's like the Garbage Pail Kids movie version of opinions.
Yeah, meaning it's disgusting and it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. It's horrifying.
Yeah. And I don't want to get into like too much deja vu, but I do love another quote where they say we are ruled by ideas as in society, which is admitting that they're just addressing ideology and not material reality, which I think is a distorted way of thinking that's pretty essential to transphobia and radical feminism and libertarianism and debate culture and all the fucking reactionaries.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just vibes.
Just vibes. More and vibes. I don't know, for any listeners out there, I don't know if you have a similar experience, but if anyone's ever met sort of an out of touch, self-proclaimed philosophical white man, this should all seem very, very familiar to you because they love to do little thought experiments, you know, just little thought experiments, you know, to see.
Everything is a thought experiment.
Mm-hmm, right. God, where it's like, no, this stuff has real world consequences. So if you could, you know, maybe like talk to some people in the world and connect yourself to the bigger picture, we might be able to have a conversation. But until then, you're going to have to thought experiment on your own.
Yeah, one of those pioneers of intellectual thought one time told me that he could understand what black people go through in America because he has empathy. And I walked away. I was like, all right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You wanna name this person? You wanna public shame this person right now? No, I'm kidding.
Stick
I'm joking.
Around
I'm
long
joking.
Enough to get his name. This was also like 2 years ago. Sorry.
Fair.
No, I mean, if I, you know, instead of doxing him, I could just figure out where he lives. Probably in the Bywater. Fucking ridiculous. Right.
Yeah.
Irish Channel. All right.
So,
yeah.
Getting back into the article, she starts out setting the stage, talking about how J.K. Rowling went and had brunch and took selfies with other presumed rad femmes. And complains about reactions to the photos. So, I put the photos in the channel, but like I don't know if y'all have initial reactions. What these photos make you think?
Oh, it makes me seeing these photos of these rad femmes makes me a sad femme.
Good one.
I mean, they all, this isn't like a purse boutique. What the fuck? Where do they have this?
Yeah,
brunch?
It looks like it's in like a salon / boutique.
I don't know. It looks like a conference room
with tables.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're really fighting for women out there. While
what sticks out to me is that I recognize J.K. Rowling and Julie Bindel, two people who I fucking hate. So exactly. I just assume the rest of them are assholes too.
Yeah, Julie Bindel, I've heard some stuff about, and she wrote a whole. There was a book that came out recently that's like a post-apocalyptic book. It's like a grindhouse book about people who become like testosterone zombies. There's a bunch of heinous shit in the book, but there's a scene where like a J.K. Rowling, no, it's written by a trans woman, and it's actually like a really deep, it's a deep analysis of what it means to be trans and also what TERFs are as well. And there's a J.K. Rowling analog character who like castles up in her mansion and it burns down and she fucking dies. And so this lady, Julie Bindel, wrote this like huge article that's like, I am so offended and trans people full of misogyny.
That sounds kind of like this article.
And it's fucking ridiculous. It's so wild. It's almost exactly like, yeah, exactly like this article. And it makes me chagrin to see that all these people are in the same place.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to like read her angry article and soak in the tears.
Just bask. Well, yeah. One thing that I think I wanted to pop out and talk about real quick is like, I'm already seeing a what's going to, I think, be like a central theme of TERFdom, and that is the gatekeeping, what it means to be a woman. So gatekeeping and hiding behind words like misogyny, and putting that label on people who not only also face that, but also a bunch of shit that they don't have to deal with because they're not trans, or most of these people aren't people of color, probably. I mean, definitely some of them.
There's one person, I think, in this.
Right.
And also there's a, speaking of gatekeeping, there's someone that has a lesbian, not queer shirt on.
That stuck out to me. Fucking boomer asshole gays.
That's disgusting. That is fucked up.
It's very old thinking.
Right. So
yeah, and she's puffing her chest out, making sure everyone sees that shit.
Oh, she's very proud of that shirt.
She's looks like the oldest person there.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I'd also definitely notice like the affection seems a little performative. They're like, they're so huggy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, solidarity for real women and whatnot. But
I think
perhaps if I could expand on what you're talking about with this person being sort of old and this being like a, I guess we call it like a boomery philosophy, but I wanted to say, just like for the sake of ageism and this kind of stuff, that like just because you're old doesn't mean you have to have bad ideas. Like, I know some old people who have really awesome ideas. I know a lot of old people who don't. I mean, I get it's a product of the times, but like, I think we can all hold older folks to a bit of a higher standard and give them some benefit of the doubt that they can, you know, learn these things very easily and have good takes and have good politics. And I don't think it should be as hard as it is sometimes.
There's lots of cool elder gays.
Well, I think,
right.
Yeah. If I can clarify what I meant by an old way of thinking, I think that, older gay people, especially like cis white older gay people, think that they are owed a lot because they like went through all of this stuff, and it doesn't, and they talk about it and use it as a way to like detract from what other people are going through.
Yep.
And this very much feels like that.
Right. And center themselves, which is like a very white thing to do, I think. Yeah. No, yeah, and absolutely. And I think that's a really good point to bring up.
Yeah.
I wanted a little bit of a call to action to older folks and to like, to offer them some benefit of the doubt. Be like, look, I know sometimes we shouldn't boomers or whatever, but like, you know, we want to bring y'all in too. Like get on board with this shit because like it's, you know, the future is now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've, especially, you know, queer and trans, especially trans elders are just so essential to the community, and we don't have a lot of them. There's this generation, I think, is going to be the generation that has the most like positive role models and like people who are actually there to like talk, because you know, we lost a lot of elders during the 80s and the 90s. It's just how it is. I was talking about this with my partner the other day, and my partner was like, wait, because there's this trans kid at the school that we work at, and we've been mentoring him a little. And we just like feel really privileged to be able to do that because we didn't have anybody like that at all in our lives.
Aww.
That's really sweet.
I love that. That's like being a great elder.
Yeah, it's really sweet. We bought him some birthday presents. You know, I'm 30 now, so it's like, why not?
Yeah.
I should be.
Yeah.
I should be doing that kind of thing.
I love that.
Yeah, having mentors and people who like see you and can relate to you as a child is so important, especially as like a queer child or, you know, a group that is like ostracized and bullied and marginalized like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'll be there to tell them that these people are wrong.
Right.
So, yeah. So I guess to contrast with the discussion that we have had based on these photos, let's see how she thinks people are reacting. I'm going to send y'all the next excerpt.
Oh my fucking God.
Yep.
These women are very well aware that simply gathering in this way is a political act which will cause trans activists to seek to punish them for their audacity, for daring to show openly their love for other women. Predictably, the backlash from trans activists to these photos was swift, and it was vicious. Deep misogyny dripped through the internet like poison. God damn it. Oh, icky just reading it.
Yeah, that's gross. Also, it's so pretentious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, the dripping through the internet like poison reminds me of like the scary vibes from the last essay that like, it's not even saying anything.
Right. There's no, but, yeah, there's no facts in that sentence.
Yeah, they're like making up for their lack of like a basic argument to stand on by being theatrical. It doesn't do them any favors.
Exactly. Right. That's radical feminism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it's like very performative, like as
Jesus Christ.
But I mean, that's what one that's like, that's disgusting. Also, like to paint these women as victims of a group like trans folks, yeah. Right? And these women being like, yeah, prominent women, like J.K. Rowling was at one point like a billionaire, I think. And like,
yes,
this kind of, I mean, like, who are you fucking talking about? Like, it's so out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking rad femmes. It's a lot of like white middle class cis people insisting they are the most oppressed and everyone else is out to get them.
And I've never seen one of them ever say, like, okay, we did this wrong, but, you know what I mean? They've never tried to take accountability, yes, for any of that stuff. They just keep throwing it back at trans people for being legitimately mad, for having legitimate reasons. And I've seen a lot of trans women on Twitter, like, have long threads that have, like, good points and, like, cogent arguments. And then, yes, this is their side of things. It's like, what?
It's vibes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I may, I do feel like two things. One, it seems like accountability is being in short supply is going to be a theme, yeah, in this podcast. Yes. So just, you know, heads up.
That's why we're here.
And then, right, absolutely. This is part of the accountability process. Gotcha. And it's in our own small way. And two,
hold them accountable.
Yeah. Well, so here's the other thing. It's a similar concept to white mediocrity versus black excellence, right? It's a similar thing to when you come from a group that is not of the status quo, that is not of the dominant culture, the accepted culture, the powerful group, you have to present everything or it's expected of you to even be considered to present everything perfectly or up to a certain like ridiculous standard that
to an academic extreme,
right? That, like, to Nikki's point, that gets met all the time. And then this lady who's,
yes,
you know,
writing a bad fan fiction basically,
right? Exactly. Like, this is just like feelings and vibes and like the and this is like the like, because this is right, I think I have mentioned this before, this is the difference between like the left, mm-hmm, and people like this,
liberals,
that like we come with facts, we come with empirical evidence, we come with lived experiences, we come with hundreds of years of data to back up what the fuck we're talking about. And these people are like, I'm sad because, mm-hmm, I feel things. And you're like,
I have ideas and opinions.
Yeah. They're conflating their current, like, the current challenge to their own privilege to, like, yeah, the historic trauma that women have experienced.
Right.
It's not, yes, they're not the same thing. Yeah, and also I never see them, like, quote stuff in general about women's rights. Like, we're going to get to the rest of the article, I'm sure, but, like, does Julie What's-Her-Fuck even, like, talk about, like, any data or like any current, mm-mm, things that are happening or any struggles women are going through right now?
We don't tell us. We'll have to find out. Let's make that a fun part of the journey.
I do have more on data later, and it's predictable.
All right.
This lady Julie Bindle in her like takedown piece of that novel, she doesn't say there, it's all opinion. It's an op-ed, and she doesn't use any facts and nothing to back any of it up.
I think it's funny how she thinks the problem is that they're showing love for other women as if all these people don't come with their own baggage and reasons people already hate them, and as if there isn't this like fucking offensive ass t-shirt that's like a fuck you to all queer women.
Yeah.
Right.
Not to mention all the other queers.
It's like punching a baby and then being like, why is this parent mad at me?
Yeah, it's also erasure too.
It's like as absurd as that.
It really is absurd. It's like,
I'm
going to do all these horrible fucked up things to you. Oh, you're catching on to that and now you're mad? Well, I'm the victim now and you're fucking with me.
Exactly.
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a lot of Sarah Lawrence College.
Yeah. See episodes 3 and 4.
So, I cannot wait to hear how vicious this misogyny gets. So, if one of y'all could read the tweet.
So, Alex Chilton tweets, "This is what hate does to your titties. Hashtag JK Rowling." And it's JK Rowling in a floral dress that's like low cut. You can see her cleavage. And I think it's just the angle that the picture is taken is like one of her boobs is off to the side and looks kind of flat in the lighting. Yeah. I don't know. And it's just like, that's pretty much it. It's not much to see here.
They look kind of flat. I mean, they look pretty flat. I mean, she's an older lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're definitely looking.
Yeah. She has the.
A certain way. Like, they look their age.
Yeah. She has the boobs of a woman her age. It's not.
Like, in her 60s. How old is she now?
I don't 50 know. Something, I think. Mm-hmm. And, like, the tweet is body shamey, which I don't really want to endorse, but at the same time, I have no interest in defending a fucking billionaire who literally lives in a castle. Like, she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say something similar. Like, I have no love for J.K. Rowling. But, you know, I think this was also a big thing around, like, Trump. It was, like, lots of body shaming being levied all over the place. Like, that was the thing to do. But I will say, like, I don't think J.K. Rowling deserves any better, but I think as a community we should do better about not leaning on body shaming as a way to call people out for things. It's not constructive, and it only hurts people without resources and who, you know,
mm-hmm.
get body shamed. I don't know.
I agree.
I
do think it's wild how this like tweet is supposed to represent all non-transphobes when like clearly there's like, as we've demonstrated, there's more nuanced opinions here, but they always find like one troll to like get so fucking angry about.
Yeah, they just find the most they find the thing that they can have the biggest reaction to, like the worst example of it they find, and then that's the one that they use, and they ignore every other one. It's classic tactic. Yeah. It's just classic. It's classic, like, deflection.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question.
Yes.
Is this, are we to understand that this is sort of the tweet that sparked this turf to write this article?
Yes.
Yeah.
The single tweet.
The tweet heard around the world, if you will.
Yeah. This single tweet is venom dripping through the internet?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other tweets she references that, like, we'll get to, but, like, aren't very significant. It's very clear that this is the one tweet that this whole fucking essay is about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which is why the whole essay is about titties. Yeah. I also want to point out, like, I don't really care what hate does to haters' titties, like, whatever. But I do care about what hate does to the lives of the people who are being hated on. Like, fuck that.
Well said. Well said. I like that. I like that.
But whatever, fine. We'll talk about titties and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send another quote.
The twisted message here is that political viewpoints expressed about the female experience of life will in turn destroy a woman's body. The dark implications suggest that wrong think about gender identity will make you less attractive to men.
One thing I want to point out real quick is she says it's about being attractive to men when like no men were involved in this thing, and Radfem somehow make all their feminism about men.
no men were involved in the dunking on these titties.
Yeah, there's this weird heteronormative undercurrent to this where you're like, obviously the person who wrote this is straight. And that is has everything to do with their opinion.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little more. Another thing I want to point out is the word wrongthink, which is super loaded. Have y'all heard this term before? And if y'all could let me know what you associate it with?
It's like some kind of reference to 1984 where they have like double think and double speak and stuff. So it's suggesting that like radical trans women, radical trans people, the far left trans community is somehow like equivalent to what kind of government was it in 1984?
Totalitarian. Like they punish thought crime and stuff.
A totalitarian government? Like they're brainwashing people?
Mm.
Yeah. They're like trying to say that trans people brainwash people.
Yeah. Or have any kind of power anywhere close to something
because
like that.
Trans people totally run the government.
Right. Yeah.
It's not Hydra. Like
no, this is Hydra. TERFs are Hydra.
Right. But they're conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about red strings in the basement.
So yeah. Free speech bros love this term too. It didn't come up in the last episode, but it could have easily. It's another thing that they use to like treat every fucking thought that pops into their head as totally sacred and precious, and implying that any thought could be wrong is oppression. Even though thoughts are wrong all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's part of the thinking process.
I never use my first idea for anything.
I only use my first idea if it's like
ever
a process I've gone through a bunch of times and I can sort of trust that.
Yeah. In which case it's not even the first idea if you've been through it before.
I guess so. Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. But yeah, I mean all the time, I mean like we grow up in a really fucked up society with a lot of shitty messaging. Like sometimes stuff pops into my head and I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? Like it's like exactly. Just little holdovers from things that, I've unlearned or am unlearning or working on or whatever. And I don't say them. It's like, what do you do with that information if you have a wrong thought? It's just like the metaphysics of it are all off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like if I have like a, like, for instance, like, a fatphobic thought pops into my head, you know? I, like, take a second to be like, okay, Nikki, like, I know that this is, like, an intrusive thought that just popped in your head, but let's take a second and just remind ourselves why, like, that's not how we think and feel about things anymore. And I do that all the time.
Same. I have a very similar process.
Yeah, that makes y'all sound like mature adults, shockingly.
And J.K. Rowling hates fat people. In her, like, pseudonymed crime novels, there's a trans man who is, like, a murderer serial killer who's, like, really fucked up and gross. And there's also, like a fat man who, like, is described to the nth degree, like, being so disgusting in the novel. And it's, like, so obvious that it's not...
Yeah.
She doesn't just hate trans people. She just is a bad person. It's like so obvious.
Yeah. And people have called out like Cho Chang being like fucking stereotypes. Like so many fucking characters are just so fucking offensive.
Oh my God. That's fucked up.
I did want to share a quote related to what y'all said. It was passed around on Twitter. I don't know who first said it, but they say, "The first thought you have is what you were raised to believe. It's society's voice. Your second thought is your own beliefs and your own voice. But if you treat every fucking thought like it's sacred," this part isn't the quote, "you never get to that second thought and you're just parroting the fucking status quo and pretending you should be pat on the back for it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. None of these women and so-called feminists are expressing any original thoughts at all. It's literally just repackaged transphobia and transmisogyny and like internalized misogyny. It's nothing more.
Exactly.
And it doesn't deserve a platform at all.
Exactly. I think a lot of radical feminism is just like uninterrogated feelings that are being treated as indisputable fact. which just ends up recycling the same fucking mm-hmm. prejudices, but under the guise of feminism and radical feminism is that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weaponizing the language that was developed by people of color to try and communicate with each other
all the fucking time. About
what the things that they're going through. It just is. Yeah. Just reusing it and repackaging yes. it. Using
is
it
that what? Is that where the radical comes from and radical and this radical feminism? Like, is it just because they've co-opted language from radical movements?
Well, I was going to say the radical part to me is how like different their reality is from,
yeah.
from like the truth. You know what I mean? That's how that to me, that is the radical part, but go ahead.
Yeah. So what I was taught in my like fucking, Feminist Studies 101 class is that it's supposed to mean like radical as in like square root radical, whatever. And it's like getting to the root of patriarchy. But instead of like the material root, they're looking at fucking ideas and shit that they think is the root of patriarchy.
I'm glad people are going to get to see my face when y'all explain some of this stuff to me. Cause like, what the fuck? That's the most like eye rolling, like hard to swallow yes. bullshit. Like, like radical, like the square root of like, oh, you're like, it's so fucking pretentious.
I feel like it could make sense if they were actually getting to the root of shit and not just like feelings and vibes.
Well, that's fair. I mean, they've ruined it. They've ruined it for everybody. Thanks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks, TERFs.
Yeah, it's sad because their shit is like neither radical nor really feminist. Yeah. But
yeah, no. It really isn't.
It's not.
Only radical, like Nikki said, in the sense of diverging from reality.
how like balls to the wall, like ridiculous. It's just so how girl balls to the wall ridiculous it is. It's like I can't.
They're gonna be so mad about that.
I can't dwell on it too much because it's like I just the more I think about it, the more I go into this fucking weird rabbit hole where I'm like, oh well, like
yeah.
I mean, how do you even get to that? Like, it's so
right.
I know how you get to that point because I was, you know, I was socialized as a man, so I. And, you know, this, I feel like a lot of men, especially, I can only really speak about people who are socialized as men in America, but I think that they're indoctrinated into, like, a culture of, like, non-consent, R-word type culture. Like, that's what it's like. And it's like, if you live in the violence for so long and like you are the victim of that violence, like I don't see how you could go down this line of thinking that is so like wrapped up in that same pool of violence. Yeah. Like it is so bizarre.
Yeah. And I definitely get into that rabbit hole a lot when I'm like, I like argue with them too much on Twitter, but observing them on Twitter, what it seems like happens is a lot of people get indoctrinated when they're like pretty young. There's a lot of like teenage baby rad femmes out here, like following these like elder rad femmes every move.
And also listening to people like Vosh who are like, I a lot of young people and a lot of young trans people I know like follow Vosh and think that Vosh is like a political philosopher or whatever. Basically that's how they treat him. And he is just like a liberal fascist in disguise.
I've only heard about this person. I've never seen anything they've ever done. I don't even know what they look like, but
you're lucky.
it's not for nothing, I guess, but I haven't ever sought it out, but this person sounds like
you're just gonna be like, when I show you what this person looks like, you're going to be like, oh, that makes
sense. Yeah, it sounds like they're real trash, but whatever.
So he's like a raging fucking like transphobe and like just like very heavy like white man vibes about everything he does. But he like presents himself as an anarchist and is like always like debating people on YouTube. Though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that's the exact reaction I had, Nikki.
Yeah, and he claims to be an ally too. Like, he claims to care about trans people.
But like he has a video where he says like trans people are his enemy because they hate him so much, as if he didn't start that shit.
Right. So that when the push comes to shove, when challenged or trying mm-hmm. to be held accountable, it, you know, it's all yeah. laid bare. It's like, it's about him and his feelings versus like actually being an ally, doing the work or learning fucking anything.
Yeah. What the material solution would look like. It's like not, yeah.
That's
yeah. Apparently Vosh had a Twitter battle with JK Rowling too. I don't know a lot about that, but just it, I'm not surprised.
He's always having Twitter battles, man, and YouTube battles.
Well, it's all performative, right? It's all for the optics. Like, look at me, I'm out exactly. here doing stuff, but you're definitely not actually doing anything. Like, you know, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. that tweet stuff out. But you know, there's also a lot of people that do real work in communities and tweet stuff out, right? Like, you can't just do one and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything if the only thing you're doing is things that people can see and
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the whole thing about getting into Twitter arguments and pretending that's activism, that's a really good segue to my description of the author, Jean Hatchett. This also relates to what you were saying about gatekeepers. The name Jean Hatchett is a pseudonym that she uses that is a reference to Jean Fourquet. I can't speak French. Fourquet.
Okay. Fork it. We'll call him Fork it.
Okay, yeah, Fork it.
Fork it.
No, we don't have to do
Jean
that.
Fork it.
She's also called Jean the Hatchet. She is a French heroine who, when there were invaders coming in from Burgundy, a guy like planted a flag and she jumped on him and tore down the flag and apparently was carrying a hatchet. And then after that, they defeated back the invaders and she was supposed to be like the hero of defending them. Mm-hmm. So I guess she sees herself as someone who is defending territory. Okay.
Oh.
Like, of all the, like, cooler feminist heroes to name yourself yeah. after, I feel like it's kind of revealing.
Okay.
It's like if you have a book full of symbolism, but that symbolism doesn't connect to anything in the novel, then it doesn't mean anything. It's like, yeah, if you write a novel that has a bunch of religious iconography but doesn't say anything about religion, then you've done nothing.
But girl boss.
So, I don't even understand. So this person has modeled herself after, or her online persona after, this French heroine who
mm-hmm. just evoking.
Who did what now? Like, protected France or something?
Yeah, when Beauvais was being invaded by Duke of Burgundy, she helped beat them back. So.
Okay.
Defender of territory.
Gotcha.
Cool, I guess. I don't know.
That's...
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, very nationalistic. I mean, which, I don't know. I think we all know is pretty dangerous stuff, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it. I don't want to comment too much.
It feels very, like, creative writing class kind of connection.
True.
Yeah.
Like, yes. This person,
a ninth grade type kind of shit.
Yeah, it's like this person has read just enough about history to appear that they know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wonder what their Zanga was like, you know?
She's probably too old for a Zanga at the time.
I suspect it might be a dog whistle about her feeling like her territory is being invaded.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I feel like definitely. I mean, they all feel like that.
Mm-hmm. For no fucking reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole TERF movement is about. I used to go on this, early in my transition, I used to go on this subreddit called LGB Drop the T. And I somehow got into this weird rabbit hole and got linked to this, like, British lady, another British white lady's YouTube channel. And she just, like...
Oh, no.
Proceeded for the next like 15 to 30 minutes, I just clicked through the video, but just like was taking down this trans woman who had like a full beard, and her only argument was like, come on, like she didn't have anything of substance to say.
I hate that typical TERF.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just fucking bigotry pretending it's activism.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a theme. And with this podcast so far. And like, I will say is like very sinister, like the co-opting of social movements and I mean, for nefarious purposes, to gatekeep, to spread transphobia or recently a lot of like xenophobia, anti-Asian sentiment, stuff like that. Like lots of stuff done in the name of activism and activists by people who are only pretending. They wear it like a costume and get in the way of and put in danger the real activists and the real people working to better people's situations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just stopped and shut the fuck up, no harm would come to them, period.
Right. And no harm does probably come to them anyway. Yeah,
nothing would happen.
Other than their-
yeah.
Well, I mean, they get harassed on Twitter, rightfully, right. But they, I mean, that would even stop. If they didn't share these opinions, if they didn't go out of their way, then they wouldn't.
But then they would feel silent.
Right. Well, then they would really, though. I mean, like, on a serious note, they couldn't farm. My mic just fucking fell over. They couldn't farm the outrage
exactly.
anymore. That's.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have a whole persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeanne d'Arc couldn't fucking protect from the Visigoths or whatever. What was that? I don't know. Who cares? I don't actually care. Don't explain it to me again.
Yeah. I mean, also, too, there's something to be said about, like, monetizing the, like, veiled hate.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, these women, their entire career is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's sheet.
And, I mean, or like, I don't know, were they like, were they active in the feminist community before? Like, was it all good until trans people became more visible and then it was like not all good? Like, was there like a tipping point for these women? Like, I
think the tipping point is when they find out they could monetize it.
So
for some of them, for sure.
I think, what you're asking about, like, when there became this rift in feminism between like the transphobes and the less than transphobes. So they like refer to that as the feminist sex wars of, I think, the
70s and 80s.
And I think this movement started.
Okay.
There was like this women's festival.
1973 West Coast Lesbian Conference.
Where they had a trans woman performing. And the majority of the people there were like all well and good. Like, great, this is a women's event, love this. But there was like a faction of people who were like so fucking offended and felt like it was like an insult to women, blah blah blah. And
okay,
yeah, it's all because they were like so offended about hearing music.
Oh wow, thanks for having that on hand and explaining it to
yeah
me.
I should have actually written that down. That's just like shit off the top of my head.
That's rad. Wow. That rules. You rule.
Yeah, that's super.
I think we like read about that in the sex worker reading group.
That's rad.
I love that shit. Yeah, now that's rad.
That's awesome. Now that makes me a glad femme.
That makes me a glad femme. What were you saying, Easton? I'm sorry.
It started because they were really offended about hearing music.
Oh, weird.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of people who are going to be outraged by stuff are just going to, they're going to find something to be outraged by, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's music, it's music.
Yeah. It's coming from a lot of the same, like lesbian separatists and shit who say that, like, misogyny is, like, biologically programmed and the only solution is for, like, men and women to be totally separate in society and, oh. like... all this like weird ass shit.
Yeah, that's wild. That's a wild take, I'll be honest.
That's pretty radical.
Yeah.
And that's where you also get like the SWERFs and the TERFs being like one and the same.
Oh.
It's all about sex and shit and their hang ups about sex.
Let's talk about sex, yeah, baby.
That's so wild.
It's not. Another funny thing about Jeanne Hatchett is she calls herself a pro-abortion liberal, which we've heard that before.
What?
Yeah, that phrase is on tour, baby.
Yeah, in our last episode, there were a couple of people who were like basically libertarians who described themselves as pro-abortion liberal. I like how they have to specify pro-abortion as if that's like the one liberal topic, even though a lot of liberals are anti-abortion. And it's just, it's weird when that's like your one thing to explain your politics. I feel like it implies you don't really have great politics as a whole.
Yeah. If that's your point of reference, for sure. That doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
No, what it is it's it's a dog whistle, right? I mean, it's just like, hey, here are my liberal credentials. So now you trust me, right? Now, I mean, I'm a pro-abortion liberal. That's pretty cool, huh? Huh? You know? And it's like, no. Like you said, it doesn't fucking mean anything.
Yeah. Credentials. And I do think it's funny how, so part of also how radical feminism was founded. So there was like the first wave of feminism, which was like women's suffrage, blah, blah, blah. It was like super fucking racist and like full of shit. It was all, at least in the US and I think in the UK too, it was about like women's right to vote, and they kind of left it there. They didn't include women of color's right to vote or anything like that. It was very much like upper class white women thing, which is funny how that has stayed consistent through many waves of feminism. And then the second wave was like liberal feminism, which is supposed to be a more, it's all about achieving gender equality through political and legal reform within the framework of liberal democracy. That's a quote from Wikipedia that sums it up really great. And then radical feminism critiques that as saying like, well, that's just reformist. Like you can't reform the patriarchy. And they think that getting to the root of it means getting to ideas, which is like, how did you get further away from the fucking objective, in my opinion, at least?
Like material action.
But ironically, they're like anti-reformist, but they're basically like taking misogynistic ideas like gender essentialism and reforming it with their own fucking language. And none of them are fucking police and prison abolitionists. Side note.
Oh.
I mean, good note.
Right. So they're completely and totally toxic, and they don't benefit anyone. Yeah,
fake radicals.
Not even themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Well.
And I guess I should maybe say that these are the waves of white feminism.
Right. Which
I was going to say. Not
this, right. It kind of runs parallel to and piggybacks off of black queer feminism.
I would say steals.
Yeah, they all definitely extract the labor of black feminists, but then don't actually like incorporate a fight for their justice or anything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wearing it like a costume. Like I said, steals is a better word. You're right. And so, yeah, it's just picking and choosing what you like and discarding the rest. But the rest was the liberation of all peoples. And so you sort of like missed the best part. And really, like the whole point.
Yeah, arguably the most important part currently.
Yeah.
I think yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like brought that up to say how it's funny how radical feminism is supposed to be in contrast to liberal feminism, reformist feminism, when these days most radical feminists are fucking like reformist liberals who like aren't fucking radical, but like this is their one thing, like, oh, being a transphobe makes me radical, hating sex workers makes me radical.
Right. Newsflash, fuckface, it doesn't. Like
I mean, yeah, that's just another way to police people's bodies and activities, and that's like a very fascist thing. Like,
very fascist, very misogynist. Right, like,
yeah, exactly,
sex negative. I just got my TERF test back on Facebook, and it says I'm sex negative.
Worth it.
I don't know.
I like that one.
So Jean Hatchett is also a activist against gender-based and domestic violence. And ironically, even though when it comes to gender-based violence, like when you look at the fucking statistics, I feel like that's a thing that kind of proves like trans women are women, like trans women are on the same fucking side of misogynistic violence. But even though she's claims to be fighting misogynistic violence, the majority of her writing has been about trans women instead of about fucking cis men who are actually doing this shit.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking about before, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll actually get into that even more.
Yeah.
Well, but it's like, you know, it's also like if you're fighting against something, I mean, you should know your enemy and you should know where you can build alliances, you can build bridges. And, you know, all it takes is a little bit of thoughtful analysis and self-reflection and work. It's not that hard to learn about these things. It's not that hard to understand. And so...
Yeah, especially now.
Just, and so, you know, I think it has to come from a place of privilege, right? Because, not there's no way, but it's so wild to face this kind of violence and then to turn around and be like, no.
I guess,
but like I'm going to do the same thing to you.
Ironically, she is a survivor of domestic violence, which it's like, it's very strange when it's like, she was very clearly abused by like a cis man, but has like, I guess like, I don't know what the word is, like misdirected her anger. And you see that a lot with radical feminists who a lot of them are like survivors of violence who then are just like, I don't even know how to describe.
Turn their anger.
I guess I can't even explain what goes wrong in their brains, but there's like misdirected.
Yeah, turn their trauma.
Yeah.
From that towards trans women.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense. There's
just
a bizarre logical leap, which makes me think it's like kind of emotionally driven.
Well, it's definitely not analytical. Yeah. I mean, we've sort of already parsed that out here, but you know, I mean, being the survivor of any kind of assault is fucking terrible, and that sucks. But like, I know a lot of people who are survivors of assault, and what they got out of it was like. A lot of things, I'm sure, but a common thread with the people that I know are like, it's a compassion for other people, like just as a general rule, like, I don't know.
Yeah. And like, also, I don't want to stigmatize survivors. Most survivors are not like this. Like, there is no excuse for this bullshit.
Right. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse. Yeah. Trauma doesn't excuse you from... traumatizing others. Like, you can't use there was a big stink with, she's like a trans streamer who was like my friend at some point in time, but then like she started doing a bunch of abusive things to people online and cited her own trauma as like the reason for it, and it just, I was just so messy and weird, and I just, it is so bizarre when that happens, when it's like, and also like was doing some true scummy stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when trans women experience a lot of trauma, which I don't know, I would say almost all of the trans women I know have experienced a lot of trauma, including myself. I there's like this moment in time when they are get to this weird precipice and some of them turn into true scum, and it's like, so
what,
like, how do you figure out how that happens?
What is this phrase you keep saying?
True scum, TRUESCUM. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's specifically trans women who hate other trans women and enact a lot of internalized trans misogyny on the trans community. Like, they like wholeheartedly believe in passing. They don't think that you're really trans unless you pass. They don't think that you count as trans unless you're medically and surgically transitioning.
I get the name now.
it makes me so sad. It makes me a sad femme. It's real sad femme stuff.
True.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I went on this fucking weird rabbit hole too, where I was like, I like went through like 2 years of tweets of this semi-famous like true scum Twitter personality who was like obviously transitioning and like taking pictures at like gender affirming surgeries and stuff and still being like, I'm not trans, being trans is like horrifying and like all this wild stuff. And it was like such, I don't know why I do this to myself sometimes, but I will like mire myself. I'll find something like that and I'll just like can't get up out of it for a minute, and I just have to like, it's like I'm trying to figure something out and there's like no figuring it out.
I definitely fall into the same shit of just like trying to figure this shit out. And I guess one like very partial explanation or connection between like true scum and violent radical feminism and shit like that, you do see this generally, abusers have a history of trauma. And it's a pattern, but it's not an excuse. It's a specific path that certain survivors take. But it does become a whole fucking cycle of violence, which is fucked up.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of statistics and lack of material evidence, so her main semi-legitimate activism is she organized the project Ride for Murdered Women, which is a bike ride which pays tributes to women murdered by men that they knew, of course, men. Mm-hmm. And they raise funds for this charity called NIA, which provides support for sexual and domestic violence survivors. And the chief executive has a project called Counting Dead Women, which is keeping count of how many women in the UK are killed by men. And I decided to like look through that list to see like what the fuck they're using to justify this like bullshit transphobia, even though I feel like most informed, not horribly bigoted people understand that like statistically like trans women aren't fucking fueling misogyny. But they, in addition to their list of murdered women, they have another blog post where they kind of sarcastically list trans women that were murdered in the UK. And they're like, but this list is so small, it doesn't even matter. They refuse to do the fucking math to like look at proportion to the population, which is funny how like that's something that All Lives Matter people do on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
So, but even looking at their raw numbers unadjusted, it still doesn't fucking add up. Because, like, according to their numbers, they claim there was one perpetrator who was trans since 2013 and four victims, which I'm pretty sure it's an undercount. I don't trust their statistics, but even by their statistics, trans women are much more likely to be the victims. But their one supposed example of, like, a trans woman perpetrator, which shows how fucking little they understand gender, is a man who has identified himself as a man who also said that he likes wearing panties during sex, as if clothes are gender. So.
What?
Yeah.
That is some real, like, fuck shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a class. That's a greatest hit.
That's
right there. That's
some of the most egregious shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Can I just say I hate the phrase transvestite.
Ooh, yeah.
Personally, it irks me a lot. And this is exactly that kind of like weird thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where all this like different shit gets flattened.
Yeah, being trans is like such a concrete thing. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of, you know, there's as many different ways of being trans as there are people, but like being trans is like a super concrete thing. And also guessing or like mm-hmm. saying that someone's trans based off of something like some random piece of information is just so inconsiderate and like
mm-hmm.
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like, they're so hell-bent on, like, not listening to trans people that they're constantly trying to come up with different definitions of transness, which is, and they're all so fucking absurd.
Well, and it's also just, like, this really sinister, underhanded attempt to undercut the legitimacy of trans folks and their existence. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. They're just like, oh, look at, here's the most ridiculous example of something I could find that's, like, even adjacent that will not only elicit an emotional response, but also sort of serve to undercut legitimate arguments from the trans community to people mm-hmm. who will listen to me, I guess, because not everybody cares what these fucking people have to say, but.
And this is the kind of shit that like actively scares me. Cause I work with kids, right? I work I work with kids at an elementary school, and all the time I'm like, what do these fucking... There's like a bunch of straight religious people who have like shown their colors and refused to teach LGBTQI plus lessons in the school. And I'm like, what do these people think about me? Like, is it in the back of their heads that I'm just going to turn into some kind of like predator at some point in time? It makes me feel actively scared.
Mm. I'm so sorry you have to deal with that. That's awful.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But they think they have reason to be scared when they're pulling this bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're going through that.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's like, I feel like, probably any trans woman who works in education is probably like, can I trust these people? You know what I mean? Like, even more so than normal, I feel like.
Right.
All the time I'm like, I can't really get too close to anybody. I can't really trust anybody. Like, yeah, there's a lot of people at the school I work at recently who have just, like, thrown each other under the bus or, like, done some other weird fuck shit that I'm like, you don't care about these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't give a shit about me either. Like, it's so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I mean,
yeah.
Again, I think this is a really good opportunity to pop out, especially for people who maybe don't fully have a grasp of what we're talking about with material conditions and sort of the interconnectedness of all this shit. Yes. Is like what my sister just described was real threats to safety and comfortability and health and real threats to things that are real, that you have to go through, that you have to deal with, that you have to fucking navigate every day. You know who doesn't have to do that? Fucking TERFs. Not in the same
fucking
way.
JK Rowling in her castle.
Right, in her castle. And I mean, like, yes, men are dangerous. Yes, misogyny is awful. No one will argue that other than probably men's rights activists and douchebags. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, this is another moment in time where it's like, start looking at things this way, where it's like, what are the material conditions for people? What is like the real world violence that people face versus sort of this thought experiment, echo chamber bullshit that's performative and emotional and not based in lived experience. So like start clocking these things when you read things or when you see media or you listen to the news or whatever, like clock this shit because it happens all the fucking time. And this is the difference. This should be a big compass point for you when you're judging your values and when you're navigating through this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, like misogynistic violence is fucking terrible. We're all in agreement, but it fucking pisses me off that these people are diverting resources that can be used to fight violence, to fucking fight trans people. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, we get fought enough.
Mm-hmm.
More than enough. Leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck that.
So, just as to clarify, this should be the heaviest part of what we're going through. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I guess to get a little lighter, so. Another fact about Jean Hatchett, she won £45,000, which is British money, in a defamation suit over tweets. And I think I've said before how much I fucking hate defamation suits. She won £45,000 over fucking tweets because she baited people into being mean to her on Twitter.
Right?
I hate her just off of that. And then my last fact about Jean Hatchett, speaking of Twitter, it seems like her main activity, her main form of activism is being a J.K. Rowling reply guy.
So just replying to J.K. Rowling's tweets?
Like a sycophant?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And tagging her in everything. Okay. Like, please notice me. Yep.
I wasn't familiar with reply guy, so... I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, yeah. That's what it means. Like, people who hang out in your mentions, reply to everything you say, like,
gotcha.
Oh, you're so right. Okay. Love this. Yeah.
Fangirl.
And, like, tag you and shit and just always are, like, looking for attention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to define. And like Twitter search sucks. So I'm sure this is not comprehensive because these were all like within the past like 3 months, but there were 46 tweets by her mentioning or replying to J.K. Rowling. And I could find zero tweets or replies from J.K. Rowling about her.
Just pining away.
And apparently she didn't even notice this fucking essay about her titties. I'm sure J.K. Rowling would have loved this.
Yeah, and she wasn't in those pictures either. She's not right. Part of the gang.
No, she wishes.
In the purse boutique brunch club.
Maybe with her next essay, she'll make it into the turf club.
Maybe.
Hopefully. I mean,
you kiss ass hard enough, maybe one day you too can be at turf brunch.
Yeah, if you kiss ass hard enough, you'll get poop breath. Or you can just drink coffee. Yeah,
And I guess she could like level up because brunch selfies are the real activism.
Brunch selfies are the real hashtag.
I know. I'm like, they turned it into such a political event. And I'm like, you're just eating.
Right? That's such like white lady shit. Like, we are radical at brunch taking our selfies. Hashtag body positive. Hashtag girl power.
Literally,
we're tipsy talking about loving women.
Right, just like literally like holding white wine being like, ooh, look at us, you know, like, come on.
It really stays on my tongue. this one's very minerally.
Yeah, but that is all of my research about Jean Hatchett.
So Jean Hatchett, she is a historical poser. She's a J.K. Rowling reply guy / fangirl. She desperately wants to be in the shitty purse salon brunch club. And she obviously is into J.K. Rowling's tits. I mean, I think that that's a pretty clear profile.
Yeah.
Expertly done, sis.
Typical reply guy. Lots of opinions about tits.
So I love where we're at with this right now, because it's like we've really set this up, right? Now you kind of understand the tone. You kind of understand where this is coming from. Like, you sort of start to see the motivations, right? Like, this isn't motivated by altruism or a real desire to further the station of women in the world. It's about status, right? It's about liking the sound of your own voice. It's about being part of the club. And I think that we've talked about this before, but that kind of stuff, that kind of promise or even just being adjacent to fame, being adjacent to these kinds of things, like, look how hard this person is working to be part of this really shitty club. But this club means money. It means fame. It means platforms, right? Like, it's similar with the New York Times kind of thing where, like, So, like, if you're in the club, you don't have anything to fucking worry about. So it's all these people. It's like the thing in this country where it's like, oh, just because I have the option to get rich, I will then make all kinds of allowances for rich people, because one day that could be me too. And you're like, what are you doing? These people don't care about you. These people don't like you. Mm-hmm. Spend your time doing something good.
Like you, Hatchett.
J.K. Rowling doesn't know your fucking name.
She doesn't want your opinion on her titties.
Yeah, her titties don't know who you are.
You're never getting invited to the castle. Yeah.
Tragic.
You're never going to get written into a post-apocalyptic novel where you get to die unceremoniously. Like, that's never going to happen to you.
You will never.
Never taste the radical champagne.
Talk about free radicals.
definitely, though, like, there is so much. And like, I'm excited here because I felt like with, well, for many reasons, but with, especially with Emma Camp, right, our last main character, it was sort of, like, I learned that the other day. It was sort of like, there was some nuance there, and it was like dunking on her at first was like, oh, let's go. And then it was like, oh, wait, but like, there's a little more nuance here. Let's pull this back just a little bit. Let's make sure that we are understanding to a point, right? Here, I'm excited because it sounds like we can really just go in on this lady because her takes are fucking shit. She doesn't have anything going for, you know what I mean? There's not much sympathy to be had here.
She's a grown-ass woman.
Right.
This is white, middle class, established. Not as much as she wants to be, but...
She deserves a complete and utter ego death.
And this is definitely a step more violent than Emma Camp.
Yeah,
right. A peddler of violent ideology. Like, I'm super ready to tear this up.
Yeah, fuck Gene Hatchett.
Yeah.
I agree. That wraps it up for part 1 out of 3, y'all, for the tale of the titty clapping turf.
We've laid out everything you need to know to understand. Well, maybe not understand, but contextualize the weird baggage that will come up in Gene Hatchett's Turf Tits essay.
The next 2 parts will be even more ridiculous and even more fun. We'll analyze her weird female hive body theory and the hypocrisy inherent there, including an elaborate and impossible definition of woman that not even her hero can live up to.
Unsurprisingly, this turf is a swerf too, with lots of shitty ideas about sex, and she works herself into a rage about trans women being just too dang hot.
Weird. Let's do it.
Do you have anything you're angry about you want to talk about, Nikki?
Charter schools are bullshit.
That's a good one.
Don't work in one if you can help it. The standard that people use to teach autistic children is bullshit as well. Fuck TERFs. Fuck SWERFs. And fuck the cops.
Well said.
I'm mad about all of those things. Yeah. I'm also mad that I don't speak Japanese because I can't. Because I have to, because if I want to play video games and watch anime at the same time, it has to be dubbed. And I'm mad about that.
Oh, man. We'll get there.
Thank you. Thanks, Houston.
So, Weston, what are you mad about today?
What I'm upset about is specifically, like, it doesn't have to be rich, but middle class, upper middle class, rich, white people coming into organizing spaces where they will have interactions with other organizations that are buy-in for and doing the work on the ground, and through their ineptitude or their inaction or their inability to do the work and understand the work and what it means to actually build community with people rather than just having them there as like optics for your shit. And through that process, destroying people's trust, fucking up their days or their nights, making them do the work to clean up your messes. Like, I don't know if this is you out there, but if it is you, make sure it's not, because if you are a white person, especially a cis white person, and especially a resourced cis white person in these spaces, Do your work to make sure that you're engaging in a way that isn't fucked up and isn't about what you want. Do it in a way that centers who the work is supposed to be for. That's what I'm upset about.
Mm. Yeah. So my thing, like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I get so fucking irritated whenever people say they respect my cautiousness about COVID. Like, oh, I know you're very cautious about COVID, and I respect that. Like, it is so disgusting to me that that would ever need to be said, that you're not a complete fucking child, and it's useless. I never asked for anyone's permission. I don't think it's really hard to respect me wanting to preserve my health and the people who I care about. And why is that only a question for people trying to be more conscientious and pro-social? Because I don't say shit about, well, sometimes I do. I try to hold my tongue about other people's choices. But you know, want to know what I want to hear instead? I would much rather hear, I know you're cautious about COVID. Here are the precautions that I'm taking. Like, wow, that's actually useful for me. But I assume a lot of times when they say that, there's no precautions to speak of. And it's uncomfortable for me to even have to ask you. And I would feel a lot more comfortable and respected if that were just set up first. And I didn't have to pull teeth to try and like assess my risk in the situation. I would like to hear people say, man, I'm fucking sorry that you have to go to these lengths to try not to get an extra disability or kill your grandparents. Or even if they're one of these people, say, I'm sorry that I've contributed to the problem and I'm going to do better now. I want to do my best to make the world safer for you and the people you love. Even tell me how I can do better. I am with you. I will take whatever precautions in solidarity with you. I would fucking love to hear that. But they don't say that shit. Like, do they just want congratulations for being such a great person that you can respect me not participating in genocide? Because that's what this shit fucking is. And I feel like saying that they respect me being cautious is like that same fucking like personal choice framing that you get from the CDC. Like, it shouldn't be like, as if it's just like a my personal thing that they respect and then that's where it ends, as opposed to this is a problem that we're all in together, for better or worse. And I hate that when people say they respect me, it feels like they don't really know what's at stake. If they think that that does anything for me, for disabled people, for Black people, for Indigenous people, for incarcerated people, for poor and essential workers, when a lot more is really badly and urgently needed. And get that fucking shit out of my face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. I mean, respect doesn't keep people alive. You can't live off of respect. So
yeah.
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 No, when you said, I respect your, what is it? What's the phrase?
Cautiousness
about COVID.
Right. I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, where's the butt coming? When's the butt coming? Like, I didn't even know what you were going to say, but I was like, there's a butt. This is the kind of statement that, like, my brain was like just filling in that there's like, oh, there's a butt coming. But like, it's like, this is the kind of phrase that ends with but. But there's there's no but about it.
Most recently, it was from my cousin who was like, I know you're cautious about COVID, but do you want to come to this thing? And I'm like, if you know I'm cautious, then tell me what precautions are going to be at that thing. Like, what is this question even? Like, fuck. Like, ugh. Just pulling teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A better question would be like, hey, we're going to do this, 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 and this. Is this enough to make you feel comfortable showing up? Right. And you could be like, yes or no. And then like work with it. Or like, hey, what can we do to make you feel comfortable? Like, if you really want to accommodate people, that's how you approach it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You make shit accessible versus just being like, I get that you have accessibility needs. Sentence there.
Yeah. I just want to let you know that I know that that's a thing. Thanks. Thanks, mm-hmm. Thanks, Karen. I don't know your cousin's name, but I don't think it's Karen. Nikki, before we wrap up, I know that you are a little bit of a streamer. So do you want to go ahead and plug your stream and any socials or anything you got going on?
Well, Wes, I'm glad you brought that up. Because as you know, I am a streamer and I would love to plug my socials. You can find me on twitch.tv. I'll be streaming more regularly once I move. At a literal trans woman, all one word. And on Twitter at literal_trans. And also on Instagram at dump_gf_666. It's dump_girlfriend666 is my Instagram handle. You can find me there. It's mostly selfies, just like my Twitter. Please come to my stream. It's fun.
Sweet.
I can vouch.
Yeah.
Nikki's stream is fun. She's a born entertainer. Y'all have a great time there.
Yeah.
It's that time again, y'all. If you're enjoying this so far, please like, rate, review, share, and follow wherever you listen. It really does help. And let everybody know. If you like the podcast, tell them about us.
Yeah. Our goal is to get to 50 listeners so we can get a little ad money from Anchor, and even just a little bit would absolutely help us. I also do want to highlight, apparently we got a 1-star rating on Apple Podcasts, but they didn't leave a review. So I want to say, tell us what you didn't like, coward.
Yeah, come at us, bro.
I would honestly absolutely love to read your review.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
All right. We all understand the stakes here. We're all real fucking cute. So if you have the extra cash, we've got our PayPal in the show notes. Any amount is enough. And for every person that donates, we'll throw a pair of titties in the Hadron Collider.
Follow us on our socials at MadAboutPod on Twitter and at WayMattPod on Instagram. Again, the photos we mentioned will be on Instagram. Leave us comments on what you like, what you didn't like. Tell us your own hot takes.
We stay gay.
Clap your titties.
And stay angry.
Who wants a little angry dance?
Clench your fist. And punch the elbow time. It's time to beat it up. Clench your fist.
Y'all, this has been such a fucking delight. This has been such a fucking delight. It's been so much.
Clap your hands, everybody.
you have the same internet provider that I do?
Probably. All the internet sucks. Isn't it just Cox for everyone?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's Cox in name and in spirit.
It should just be called Butt.
It's just called Butt's internet.
Oh my god.